Narayana namaskritya Narayana chaiva narottaman Devam sarasatim vyasam Tato jaya mudiraye Nasta prayesha bhadresu Nityam bhagavata shivaya Bhagavatu tamas loke Bhakti bhavati nashtiki Vede ramayne chaiva purane bharate tata Hadvanta cha mahadecha Hari sabhati giyate Mukam karati vachalan pangu langate guri Yakripata ham bande Sri guri dadantari ne paramananda madhava Dhamma projito katavota paramo ni masham satan Vedan vastavam ata vastava shivadam tapataya molanan Shima bhagavate mahamoni kritengi vai para isvara Sadyorudhi havaruta trita kativikta kishanam Nigama nikama kapataru galitam falam Sukha mokan ravasambitam Pibatam bhagavatam asamalaya muhura varsika bhuvapuka Yashchavasya mana jayakrishne paramapurusi Bhaktitabadi punzan soka moha bayapahan Atoyam brahmasutranam bharatata beninaya Gayati basharu pusho vedata paribhimita Sababhidhitiya sanam saram saram paribhimita Sababhidhantan saram him si bhagutamishyate Tarasamitasya tiptasya nangitasya ratikachit Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Gurave Gurachandraya Rajkaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Nama Vancha Kapatrubhyascha Kripa Sundivacha Patitana Pavanabhyo Vashnabhyo Namanama. So this is the discussion about the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. This chapter 10 of 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So specifically, it's a brief summary of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. In the this old canto of Bhagavatam, ninth canto, it's all about dynasties. There are many, many dynasties out there. So all these various dynasties coming to the Raghu dynasty, by which Lord Ramachandra is the it's called just like there is the popular song. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram, that is the Raghupati, the Lord of the Raghus, because Lord Ramachandra is coming from the Raghu dynasties. Raghu dynasty is the Sun dynasty of the Sun, the Sun dynasty. There are two dynasties, mainly there is the Sun dynasty, there is the Moon dynasty, Chandra Vamsa and Raghu Vamsa, Surya Vamsa. So Lord Ramachandra came from the Surya Vamsa, the dynasty coming from the sun. And then Lord Krishna came from the dynasty from the moon, Chandra Vamsa. So of course, Sukadeva Goswami, it's not that he wasn't meant to describe the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Basically, the Bhagavatam from first canto to ninth canto is basically leading us to the main focus of Bhagavatam, which is the description of Lord Krishna's pastimes. But because talking of the dynasties, so Sukadeva Goswami cannot avoid describing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So in brief, he offered prayers basically. like different prayers which he offer, which contain within the two chapters, chapter 10 and chapter 11, whereby in a brief, the pastimes of Laura is being described. And of course, if you want to know more about Lord Ramchandra, apart from what has been described here in Bhagavatam, then you have to read Ramayana. And there are a few Ramayans. There's Valmiki Ramayana, which is there. There's also Adhyatma Ramayana, composed by other sages. There's about four or five different Ramayans, four or five different ones, which I know. Of course, the most famous ones is the Valmiki Ramayana. And then in this age, Kali Yuga, according to the order of the Lord himself, actually this is by the request of Anuma, because it was described that Anuma, he also wrote the pastimes of Lord Ram. He wrote Ramayana, Anuma. He wrote them on the mountains, but Valmiki wasn't so happy, he wasn't so pleased about this. So he requested Anuma that he should withdraw his Ramayana, because he had written the Ramayana, he had written the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So then Anuma said, okay, I will do that if you make a promise that you will come back in Kali Yuga and describe the pastimes of Lord Ram in a very easy to understand language. In a very easy to understand, because Ramayana was written in Sanskrit. So unless one is educated in Sanskrit, knows how to read Sanskrit, you may not be able to read. So Anuma told Valmiki that, okay, you have to promise to come back in Kali Yuga and describe Lord Ramachandra pastimes in an easy to understand fashion. So in this age, Valmiki actually came in the form of a Tulsidas. So Tulsidas, he actually described in the local dialect, in the local language, Avadi, Hindi, old Hindi language. So he wrote Ramcharitamanas, which basically described the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And of course, this is a very, very popular, you know, here in India. Normally, when people hear about Ramayana, they want to talk of Ramcharita, of Tulsidas. Tulsidas is he was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And he was glorified quite a few places by Srila Prabhupada, Tulsidas. So this section, Bhagavatam, these two chapters, is describing the basic pastimes. It's like overview of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. So today, I'm going to read, we're supposed to read text 17 to 20. So we read that, and then I will continue the discuss on the Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. So text 17. Sabaramindra Balaruda Bihara Kushta Sidwara Gopura Sadubala Bivitanka Neba Jamana Dishanandraja Emakumba Singata Kagaja Kulai Radina Guna. Translation. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuma occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its dome were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. Text 18. Ragapati stabaloka nikumba kumba dumraksha dumuka surantaka narantaka dim putam prashtam atihaya vikam panandim sabanu gansamayinata kumbaka Kanam. Translation: when Ravan, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dumraksha, Dumoka, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter, he called for Parashta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarnam. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. So Indrajit, I forgot his actual name. So Indrajit is so called because he defeated Indra. So he's called Indrajit. He's a very formidable fighter, big fighter. Even he defeated Indra himself. He was the son of Ravan. And of course, Kumbhakarn, he was the brother of Ravan. So Janvijay, they came in three lifetimes. One life, they were Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. And then another life, they were Ravan and Kumbhakarn. And then during Krishna Lila, they came as Shishupal and Dantavakra. So three life, because they were caused to become demons to fight with the Lord. So three life they came. So in this circumstance here, so Ravan is there and his brother Kumbhakarn to fight with Lord Ramachandra. Text 19. Tam yatudana pitanam asisula chapan prasasti shakti sarato marakadgadugan sugriba lakshmana marusuta ganda mada milanga daksha panasadi bi avitogat. Translation: Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamadan, Nila, Hangada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invisible weapons like swords, lances, bows, parasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, kadgas, and tumaras. Again, there is no English equivalent for these weapons. So they just leave the Sanskrit name there. So text 20. So we all read the text 20 together. Tini kapara gupate abhipata sabe. Dandam barutam ibapati rataswayo dai. Jagdam dumai guri kadesubi angadadhya. Sita bimasa hata mangala rabanesam. Te. All of them, Anekapa, the commanders of the soldiers, Ragupate, of Lord Sri Ramachandra, Abhipatya, chasing the enemy, Sarve, all of them, Dwandvam, fighting, Varutan, the soldiers of Ravana, Ibha, by elephants, Pati, by infantry, Ratha, by chariots, Ashwa, by horses, Yodhai, by such warriors, Jagnu, killed them, Drumai, by throwing big trees, Giri, by peaks of mountain, Gada, by clubs. It should be by arrows, angered at deer. All the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra, headed by Angada and others. Sita of Mother Sita, Abhimasa by the anger. Hata had been condemned. Mangala, whose auspiciousness Ravana Isham, the followers or dependents of Ravana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus, the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Purport. The soldiers Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing arrows, by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence. And Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, "Mam anusmaran yudhyacha, think of me and fight." We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chante Nikapar Gupati Abhipati Savi Dwandan Barutan Ibupati Ratasa Yodai Jagno Dumay Gudi Gadisu Bianga Dadhya Sita Bimasa Atamangala Rava Nation. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus, the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. So the lot of instructions are here, you know, especially how not to incur the wrath, the anger of women, of ladies, the powerful women, you know. Just like during the Mahabharata, when Draupadi was brought to the assembly of the Kauravas, and attempt was made to disrobe her, to insult her, to humiliate Draupadi by stripping her naked in front of all the assembly of the Kurus. Of course, Dushyasana was not successful in that. And then, so Draupadi, of course, she became so angry, obviously. She wanted to curse the Kauravas. And she was able to hold the curse. Immediately, fortunately, Gandhari came in to say, please, 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 stop, don't curse. Stop. Don't curse. Of course, Gandhari said she was very, very annoyed that her sons, they had made this attempt to destroy Draupadi. But she knows that if Draupadi should utter this curse, a big devastation can take place. So she essentially prevented Draupadi to curse the Kauravas. So the story is there. So here, in this case, so therefore one should be very, very careful, especially in dealing, with the mothers. Don't get them angry. You get them angry, then the big devastation can take place. So Mother Sita, obviously, she cursed the Ravan and all his soldiers. So they were eventually crushed by the army of Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra's army, they were just monkeys. They were not like, big fighters, big soldiers. It's not that Lord Ramachandra went to Ayodhya and took big armies headed by Bharat, Satrughan, Then I was in the jungle because he had taken the exile. He was in the forest in exile. And in the 14th year, this episode happened, whereby the Ravan came to kidnap Sita Devi. So Lord Ram, he recruited the monkeys to fight on his behalf. So the monkeys, they were not trained in the heart of warfare. And of course, these are not ordinary monkeys, obviously. They were big, big monkeys, like Anuma, Sugriva. Actually Anuma was was the son of Vayudev. And Sugriva was also the son of demigods. So they were actually great, great personalities. But they had this form of Anuma. And this, so with the only instrument they could have is this, the stones, the big, in the mountain peaks, trees. This is what they could use. And of course, we know that now the one thing about the monkeys is that they have their faith in Lord Ramachandra. Because they know that Lord Ram is God Himself, is the Supreme Lord Himself. So that is actually the source of their strength. When the ocean was, when they were building the bridge to cross the ocean from in the Rameswara to cross the, to go to Lanka, so the bridge was built by throwing the stones on the water. Normally, when you throw the stones on the water will, the stone will sink, will go down. But the Anuma and all the other monkeys. So they wrote the name Ram. They wrote the name Ram on each of the rock. So they wrote Ram on it. So that stone become surcharged with Lord Ram's energy. So when they throw the rock on the water, obviously, so the rock was floating. It was not going down. So in this way, they were able to build bridge to cross to Lanka. And then this great battle took place, and the soldiers, they were the monkeys. I mean, the soldiers of Ravan, they were able to be defeated by the by Lord Ramachandra's soldiers, who are simply monkeys. Actually, here in this, when Lord Krishna came in 500 years ago. In order to compensate the monkeys for what they have done for him, they have helped him so much in his fight against Ravan. So therefore, Lord Krishna was always busy giving butter to the monkeys. He was busy giving them butter. Every morning, the Lord will steal the butter. He will go to so many, many gopis' houses. He will break the pot of yogurt, the pot of butter, and then he will break them and he will fill them to the monkeys. The Lord was very, Krishna was very grateful. He said, okay, you monkeys have done so much for me. So therefore, here's the, you know, so he was giving them, you know, butter. He was like, he was feeding them this way. So therefore, these monkeys, they are, you know, they are to Lord Krishna, of course. Of course, now, I don't know if I can compare that to the present-day monkeys that we have in Lohi Bazaar. Because the moment you go there, they snatch, they took off your glasses, and so we all got angry with them. So that's the way. But the point that Srila Prabhupada was mentioned here, that the divine weapons and the demoniac weapons, I mean, and just the normal mundane materialistic weapons, that there's a big difference between the diver and Purushakara. The divine weapon, which is achieved from transcendence, it comes from it's a spiritual energy, whereas Purushakara is a strength obtained by one's own intelligence and power. But the fact is that no matter how powerful one may be, it is of no match to the power of the Lord. It is of no match, because the divine weapon is always superior to the mundane ordinary weapon. Just like in the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, when Duryodhan, so he went to his guru, Dronacharya, saying that on our side we have immeasurable strength. He said our strength is unlimited, it's immeasurable. Because they have great fighters like, you know, Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, the big great fighters who are unconquerable. Nobody could ever defeat them. Whereas the Pandavas, you know, they are very, very limited. They were protected by Bhima. And who is Bhima compared to Dronacharya? Who is Bhima compared to Bhishma Dev? So in this way, Duryodhana, he made this mundane assessment. But however, yeah, the Kauravas, they may have superior weapons. They may have superior soldiers. But where is Krishna? Krishna is there on the side of the Pandavas. And where is Krishna? Wherever there is Krishna, there's always be his victory. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Patu Dhanadhara, Tata Sri Vijaya Moti, Duranity Matimama. This is the conclusive opinion of Sanjay when he was talking to Dronacharya, to Dhritarashtra, that wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is Arjuna, there will always be strength, victory, Vijaya, victory, opulence, and everything. That will always be there. So therefore, Sanjay was telling Dhritarashtra that not to put his hope so high, because Krishna is there. Krishna is the supreme mystic. What can you do? He is the mystic among all the mystics. He is the strength of all the yogis. I mean, everything is coming from him only. So according to his will, his devotee will always be victorious. And one thing about this Krishna devotee is that they will never depend on their own strength. To them, they always rely on the Lord's own strength, on the Lord's own mercy on them. Like they quoted here that Arjuna, when Krishna told Arjuna, "Mam anusmara yudhyacha," think of me and fight. Think of me and fight, you will always remain victorious. So therefore, devotees, they'll engage in all kinds of endeavor. But they engage all kinds of endeavor with the thought of the Lord. And they will never depend on their own strength, on their own power. Whereas the materialists, they base everything on their own strength, on their own calculation. That I am so much, you know, I have so much capability. But devotee will never do that. Devotees only depend on the Lord's own will, on the Lord's own mercy upon them. So Lord Ramachandra, so he performed these pastimes. And of course, Lord Ram is Krishna himself. He's Lord Krishna himself. But with a different purpose. Lord Krishna is called Lila Purushottam in the sense that he came to perform many pastimes for his own pleasure. Whereas Lord Ram, he is called Mayada Purushottam. Mayada means the rules and regulations. He came as a strict moralist. He will not do anything to violate the Vedic principles. Whereas Lord Krishna is now. Lord Krishna does not believe in any morals. You know. But this is to the materialistic point of view, of course. But Lord Ram, he was a strict moralist. You know, strict moralist. His whole life, he never contravenes anything that opposes religious principles. And that's why during Lord Ram's time, everything was very peaceful. There was harmony, complete harmony among all the citizens. That's why nowadays normally people they're hoping for Ram Rajya, the kingdom of Ram, but you want Ram kingdom, but you want Ram kingdom without Ram. So how's that possible? Because in a Ram kingdom, Ram is the center of everything. Everything is centered around him only. But if you want a Ram kingdom without Ramachandra, so how is that possible? That's just illusion only. So the difference between Lord Ram is, you know, is very, very strict principles. And throughout his whole life, his whole pastime, he's still reflecting on that. And that's why most of the time, it's always difficult for people to really understand the Lord's purpose, the Lord's Ramachandra's appearance, his activities. It's so difficult to understand. Because here's a person who, the night before he was supposed to be coronated as a king, he stepped on that step and he said, no, I want my son instead to be coronated. Because her son was Bharat. I want my son instead to be coronated. After all, desert marriage, he had promised her that whatever you want, you can ask. Long story itself. So the day before the coronation, when Ram was already, that it was already announced that next morning he will be crowned as the king of Ayodhya, as the crown prince. But Kakeyi said, no, I want my son instead. And not just that, I don't want Ram to be in the city. Because if he's in the city, then because the citizen, they have affection for Lord Ram, because they have affection for Ram, so there may be some kind of revolution, there may be some kind of rebellion and all these things. So therefore, I don't want Ram to be in the city. He should be excited. He should go to the forest. This was the day before the coronation took place. Of course, you know, that sort of marriage was very, very heartbroken. That, oh, what is this? How can you be so crude that you don't want Ram to become king and at the same time you want him to be banished to the forest? What is this? How can you be so crude? But Kakeyi, she was so determined that, no, this is what I want. So, and because you have made me a promise, so you have to execute this. So, that's what it was. It was complete perplexity. Now, because Ramachandra, he was such an ideal son, he knew the supreme will of the father. So, being an ideal son, he knew about this, that what is worrying his father. So, immediately decided, okay, I will not be king, and tonight I will go to the forest tonight. So, Lord Ram. So he went to the forest. And of course, from that time, he was not nobody. Everyone in the city, in the kingdom, everyone was heartbroken. Even when Bharat came back, because that time Bharat was not in the city. He had gone to see the mother-in-law. When he came back, he was so surprised that, how could this be? How can my mother be so crude like this? So Bharat himself, he was so disappointed, he was so disheartened, that he himself, he said, I'm not going to stay in the city. So he stayed outside the city. Even though he went to the forest to go to try to get Loram to come back to the city, that don't mind my brother, forget about whatever she said. No, Loram said, no, this must be executed. And then, of course, then Barat, he took the ram's shoe. He said, okay, this shoe will be guiding the kingdom, that I'm simply going to rule on behalf of you. So this is the way. So Loram's lila, so it's like one suffering after the other, but make it difficult to understand. And not just that, when the Lord was in the forest, and then on the 14th year, when he was supposed to be returning back to the forest, back to the city, the raven came and kidnapped his wife, Sita Devi. Kidnapped his wife and took her to Ayodhya. So this is a great, come and kidnap somebody's wife. Now, of course, we know that Ravan actually never really touched Sita. He never really touched Sita. Because when Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling South India, so there was one Brahmana who was greatly lamenting that how could Ravan kidnap Mother Sita? So he was lamenting, and Lord Chaitanya said, Mahaprabhu said, no, actually Ravan never touches Sita. He simply, Ravan kidnap the illusory Sita, not the actual Sita, because in a Sita Devi is Lakshmi Devi. Who could touch her? No materialistic person could touch her. But when Ravan came, so Agni Dev came and actually have Mother Sita in his palace, and then he presented the illusory form of Sita to Sita Devi. But still, it's there that Ravan kidnapped Sita and then went to his, he took her to his kingdom. And there are many, 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 many stories that took place. Now, this Leela was Leela of the Lord. So the Lord was lamenting greatly for Sita Devi. He was full of lamentation. He and Lakshman, they were going forest to forest, you know, searching for Sita, lamenting greatly for her. So as they were going lamenting, one time, Lord Shiva and Parvati Devi, they were in the sky, in the aeroplane, and then they were hearing the lamentation of of Lord Ram. They was lamenting, searching for his wife. So Parvati Devi looked down and become very concerned. Then he asked Shivaji that, how is it that Ram is lamenting for his wife? You know, after all, you know, he is the Supreme Lord, he is the Bhagavan. How can Bhagavan be lamenting for his wife? What is this situation? So Lord Shiva replied, well, this is the Lord's pastime, this is the Lord's Leela. This is difficult for ordinary people to understand. But this was difficult for Parvati Devi to accept. She said, okay. So she came down and then she decided to test Lord Ram. She did that by taking the form of Sita Devi. She took the form of Sita Devi and presented herself in front of Ramachandra. So when Lord Ram saw her, so the Lord simply said, oh, Mata, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be with your husband. Why are you doing here alone in the forest? What are you doing here in the forest? So, of course, Parvati Devi, she was surprised. She was ashamed that, the Lord could immediately recognize her. Because she thought that she could play a trick on Lord Ram by assuming the form of Sita Devi. But this did not work on Lord Ramchandra. He said, you are not supposed to be here in the forest without your husband. You know. So, of course, Parvati Devi, she felt so ashamed that she could not even present herself before Lord Shiva, that she had doubted what Lord Shiva told her. You know. So, and then of course, then she had to give up that form, and then she became the daughter of the mountain, like that. So, in this way, these pastimes, of the Lord going to the forest, his wife being kidnapped, and then not just that, you know, even after the end of the battle, when the Ravan kingdoms, when they were defeated, when they were all exterminated, and Sita Devi was supposed to come back to Lord Ram, and the Lord Ram said that I have to test that because Sita Devi had been kidnapped by Ravan, so therefore she must have been contaminated, and the only way by which to test her purity was for her to cross a river, to come through the fire. She must cross the fire. So this was so unbearable for the devotees that, oh, how is this? Sita Devi is pure. And the Lord wants her to come through the fire. But this is his desire. So, and of course, Sita Devi came through the fire. She came out as Sita Devi. The fire was not, of course, could not affect her. However, during that time, the illustrious Sita was taken away by Agnidev, and the real Sita came out of out of the fire. So the Lord was happy, and then he was then they returned to Ayodhya. So some of these things was always, some of this lila was always very difficult for people to understand. And another thing which I want to mention is the pastimes of the Lord, the pastime of Lord Ram, supposedly banishing Sita Devi to the forest, because when the Lord he was going through the city, he found that some low class men, some washermen, was talking about, you know, was making some rumor that Lord Ram, he could accept his wife back, even though she had been taken by another man. But I'm not going to do that. So hearing this, Lord Ram decided to send Sita Devi to the forest. However, this pastime, in reality, it never takes place. This is the opinion of many, many authorities. This Uttaramayan, which discussed that the Lord Ram sent his wife to the forest, this Uttaramayan, you will not find anywhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you will not find anywhere among all the authorities that this pastime was an interpolation, that the Lord sent his wife to the forest. The fact is, Sita is always love with Ram, and Ram is always with Sita. You know, we know that in the West, we have some of our, many of our devotees, our lady devotees, who are like feminists. They get angry with Lord Ram that, how could it be so crude that he sent his wife he banished his wife to the forest. The reality is that that pastime is supposedly, is actually an interpolation. The Lord never really sent his wife to the forest. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he was always very, very affectionate to his devotees, and especially among his devotees, are the devotees of Lord Ramachandra. The chief among them was Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Actually, there was one time when Lord Ram told him that, look, I've started this movement of chanting Krishna Nam, chanting Krishna Mantra, so therefore, I wanted to start chanting Hare Krishna Mantra. Because Murari Gupta was a devotee of Lord Ram, and he was always, he only chant Ram's name only. So hearing this instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Murari Gupta tried to chant Krishna's name, but he could not. So the next day, he approached Mahaprabhu and said, "My dear Lord, please allow me to die today, to die before you, because I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Raghunath. So I try to follow instruction. I cannot follow your instruction because I could not, you know, I could not just abandon the chanting of Ram's name. So therefore, allow me to die today." And of course, Mahaprabhu was very, very happy. Then he embraced Murari Gupta that, "Yes, you are a true devotee of Lord Ram." So Mahaprabhu was very, very happy. So there is a prayer which was composed by Murari Gupta, and this prayer was recited before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by which the Lord was very, very happy. So I could just recite the prayer here. It is called Ramashtakam. Raja Krita Mani Didiete Dipitasan Hudya Paspati Kaviprati Mevahanta Dwe Kundalin Anka Rakitendu Samana Bhakta Ramanjaga Traya Guru Satam Sarata Bajami. Though his face is like a spotless moon, still it is further brightened by a shiny crown of jewels. His hair is resemble Jupiter and Venus rising in the evening sky. I forever worship this Lord Sri Ram, Guru of the Three Worlds. Anyway, there are eight prayers, and we don't have so much time. So this prayer you find in the this is in the Chaitanya Charita. It's a biography book which was written by Murari Gupta, and you find this prayer. And when Mahaprabhu heard this prayer, so Mahaprabhu was very, very happy, and on the forehead of Murari, he wrote Ramdas, that yes, you are the true servant of Lord Ram. And there's a prayer also recited by Anumaji. It's a, what is that verse, famous verse? What is that verse? Ramachi Ramapan Lochane. Well, yes, Srinate, Janakinate, Chabeda, Paramatmane, Tata, Paramaswara, Ramapadma Lochane. Srinath means the husband of Lakshmi. Janakinman means the husband of Janaki, who is Sita Devi. It's a Srinath, Janakinate, Chabeda. He said that they are both, even though they are both the same persons, Srinath or Narayan or Ram, they are the same person. Still, I worship the lotus feet of Sri Ramachandra. So in this way, the devotees of Lord Ram, they are always very, very fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Just as devotees of Lord Krishna, they are always very, very fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. They are the same person. Just a matter of what kind of attraction that one has towards each form of the Lord. So I'm going to stop here. If there is a comment or question about it's a wonderful lila that is going on. Any points? Any question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Is it working?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So the end of the Ramayana that Lord Ramachandra sent Sita Devi to the forest, according to many acharyas, is not nobody.
No. It's supposedly written by one person by the name Bhupadev. He wrote this in around 18th century. Basically to malign the character of Lord Ramachandra, to malign his characters. So this supposedly is interpolation. So many authorities do not recognize this Uttaramaya. Even Tulsidas never talks about it. Mahaprabhu, through all his discussion, pastime with his devotees, this never comes up. You will not find in many. So many authorities, they don't accept Uttaramaya. Yeah, many people don't like it.
So is it that also the washerman speaking bad about Lord Ramachandra is also an interpolation?
Yeah, this is part of the Uttaramaya. That Uttaramaya is an interpolation of Ram, is an interpolation. It's not reality. It's, So people, this story is a made up story. So you find many stories are like that in the Puranas, so called. People, they put their own thing there, and the person who, the Bhupadev, he wasn't much of a devotee himself. He was like an atheist actually. I was told that he was a Buddhist. Yeah. If you want to hear more about this, you can talk with Radha Govinda Maharaj. He will tell you more about this. Okay. Any other point? Any other?
A general.
Yeah. It's come Vrindavan. You go to YouTube. Yeah, YouTube is always there. It's every day. All the lectures are there every day. YouTube.
Either for you, either for
yeah, you can say. So thank you very much. Grand Shri Shri Bhagavatam ki. Sila Prabhupada ki. Go up in Menandee.